Yes, I'll trust in him, sweet hour of prayer.
Thanks, Leon. That was beautiful. Well, we only have one announcement today. The bookstore will be open today, immediately after the morning fellowship, so sure to go check that out. I guess one more announcement. We have a weekend in God's Word coming up. Title of it is Heavenly Ambassadors. And that's going to be April 26th through the 24th, and you still have time to sign up for that. The registration deadline is March 31st. So if you know that you're going and you can, go ahead and put in your registration now. There's forms out in the lobby, so... With that, we're just going to sing one more song before Josh Thomas comes up to share God's word with us. Number 36, Hark the Voice of Love and Mercy. Those manifestations were something, weren't they? Let's remember what he said. Carve out a pocket in your heart, stick those words in there that were specifically like poignant to you, and keep them, because... that was for us today, so. All right, number 36, Hark the Voice of Love and Mercy.
Thank you. Kristen. Thank you, Leon. God bless you all. I do have one more exciting announcement to make. We have a music night coming up, and it's not as quick as you might think, but we wanted to, it's not as quick on the horizon as you might think, 2.5 months away, but I wanted to announce it now so that you could get out your banjos, tune them up, and rosin up your violin strings, and get out your writing juices, and write a poem or a song, or plan to prepare to do something to praise God, lead us in praise, or teach or admonish us with lyrics that would be a blessing to us. So most of us have been a part of those music nights. They've just been wonderful times where the church gets to give to the church. So I encourage you to be praying now and considering being a part of that. And you don't have to let me know right very quickly. Again, 2.5 months away. It's going to be on May 11th, Saturday, May 11th. But let me know if you want to be a part of that, and we'll give announcements, more details as we get closer in terms of the deadline for letting me know. All right, but put that on your calendar. It's also on the events page. We do have that events page on our website. If you go to upcoming events, there's a number of different dates. We're not always making announcements up here to tell you about, but those are there. For example, dates for family camp and the weekends and God's Word in the fall. So if you want to mark those on your calendar, you can see those. Well, I am just amazed again at how it's just becoming a recurring theme that from the first song through every prayer, through every manifestation, and right into the teaching, God has a consistent message for us. And once again this morning, thank you all that trusted God to manifest. Thank you, Kristen, for what you shared from Psalm 34. I almost feel like you could have just stayed up here and taught my teaching for me. It's wonderful how God works. So we're going to turn to Isaiah 50 and look at a couple verses here to start. And I'm going to pray as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've spoken to us already this morning. Thank you that we can expect you to speak to us even more this morning through the pages of your written word. Thank you that you are a God who's near, not a God that's far off, and that invites us to lean hard upon you, to trust in you, to come to you where there is safety and security, not to go back to the temptations of this world, not to fall prey to the temptation to trust in the things of this world, but to come to our good God. And I pray that as we continue to hear your voice this morning, that we'd have humble hearts to receive it. In Christ's name, amen. In Isaiah 50, we're going to read in verse 10. And I'll be reading from the King James this morning. It says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" This is a really amazing start to a verse, and I think some of the modern translations kind of chicken out here in the way that they punctuate this, because the way this is worded, I believe, should be understood is that this is the same person, okay? Who is among you that fears the Lord? And obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and hath no light. Oh, do you see? It sounds almost contradictory at first, right? You think, oh, okay, if I'm somebody that fears the Lord, if I'm somebody that obeys the voice of those who speak for him, then I'm not going to be in darkness. I'm not going to have no light. But that's not what this verse says, right? It's calling out, Isaiah's calling out, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voices of his servant and also has no light, right? And so that's possible. We want to be those that are willing to realize that that's part of life growing up, part of being in this world, part of being challenged with the world, the flesh, and the devil, is that there are going to be times in life where we're particularly challenged, where even though we're saved we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light, situations in life come up, areas of growth are exposed, things where I've been pushing against God come to light, and I realize, oh, I have no light. Oh, do you see, that's okay to admit that. We need to be willing to admit that. If we get this idea that once we're saved, there's never any challenge, there's never any darkness, there's never any sorrow on the horizon, there's never any challenge, then we're gonna start pointing the finger back at ourselves immediately and thinking I messed up somewhere. What we're gonna see this morning is don't assume you've messed up until the next decision comes and you make the next decision, which is what are you gonna do then? Okay, when life comes at you, when you're groping and you feel like you're in darkness, and maybe you are, what do you do then? What do you do then? And that's what this verse calls us to, right? It says, calling out, right? Isaiah's calling out, who among you fears the Lord, right? You're reverencing the Lord God. You're obeying the voice of his servant, but you're walking in darkness and you have no light. What do you do now? And the answer is given in B, the second part to the verse. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And verse 11 gives the alternative that I want to handle first, and then we'll come back and see that the simple answer is going to be trusting in the name of the Lord and leaning upon our God, staying upon our God, right? If we were to fail to do that, then we could say we messed up, right? But just having a challenge, just being exposed to areas in life where you need to change, or you're realizing that you don't have the wisdom that you need, that's not a fault in itself. The fault would be, where do I turn in those times? Where do I look to? And the alternative to trusting in the name of the Lord and waiting upon God is verse 11. It says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Okay, this is kind of an obscure verse in the King James, also the modern translations as well. And it requires understanding that the Bible wasn't written to 21st century America or the 21st century at all. This was before the days of electricity, even before the days of lanterns. And so what this is talking about, lighting your own fire and compassing yourself about with your own sparks, is a reference to if you got up early in the morning and you needed to go out to work on the farm, maybe there were dark trails, right? No street lights. And so what you do is you light a fire or go to the communal fire in the center of the village, and then you take pieces of rope and light it on fire, and then it would be smoldering, and then you would shake that rope in front of you as you walked, and it would kind of let off these little sparks that could give you just like faint 2-second bursts of tiny little light there, right? And so this would have been familiar to those of that day. Maybe in our culture we might say, if we need, if the power goes out, what do? You run to the drawer to pull out some matches and maybe light a candle. You know, what you would do when the sun's not out and you had no access to light. Here it's talking about this Orientalism, this Easternism of compassing yourself about with these little bits of light. And it's saying that this is a bad thing, right? And so the point here is that when we're in times of darkness spiritually, that we go to our own means, right? That we're the tendency and the natural human response is that we're prone in those times to draw back away from God's solution and maybe run for sparks of our own creation, right? When the darkness comes in our panic, in our brains, it's all hands on deck to deliver ourselves something of our own doing, our own wisdom, our own experiences, our own traditions. right? Every time a challenge comes, we grab that matchbox, started striking fires to deliver ourselves. And that's a big temptation, right? But that approach will only lead to sorrow, as it says, "This shall you have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Not that God's hand is actively bringing the defeat, but that he's allowing us to go our own way. There is a better way, and we can hear it at the end of verse 10, right? It says, "If you are walking in darkness and have no light, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God." Before you start scurrying for that self-deliverance activity, pause long enough to consider another option. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Right? Let's look at James 1. James 1. Similar truth here. Similar encouragement. Right? When you have the noonday sun available, lighting these little sparks is kind of foolish, right? And yet we're so prone to looking to find a solution quickly in our nervousness, in our unbelief, really, that we forget that we have access to the noonday sun. We have access to that clarity. We have access to God who can give us the light that we need. James 1, verses 5 to 8. Says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Right? "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I love this little, not only does God promise to give liberally, you know, without, not in a conservative way, but in an abundant way. He doesn't just parcel it out. "Oh, I'll give you a little bit of wisdom so you can..." No, it's he gives liberally. He gives liberally. And on top of that, it's not with an attitude of disappointment or reprimand or finding fault. It's what? He upbraids not. He gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Isn't that beautiful, right? So that's why I said, you know, Isaiah points to that understanding that there can be times where those of us that fear God, those of us that obey his word, we can still be challenged with times in life, situations, areas of growth where we're exposed, and we need wisdom, we need light, we need the clarity of God's word to show things up and help us to get up and out. Here it says if we are in that position that we shouldn't feel ashamed about it, but we should do one thing, we should ask God, and expect him to give liberally and not expect his attitude to be, "Oh, you know, you should have known this." No, but he's not going to reprimand that, right? When we come to him with these types of questions, when we come to other believers, we can expect him to not find fault, but give us liberally. Isn't that wonderful, right? So the shame would be in getting into those positions in life and then running to our own sparks. Right? There's no shame here in admitting that, "Oh, I've been pushing for something that's not God's word." I was so thankful in our home fellowship this week. Our fellowship leader has break into groups, and there's a group of four of us, and each one of us went around, and by the end we realized, oh, we all had something to share where we were being challenged, where we needed help. We were asking for prayer, some things that had come to light in our lives that we were willing to ask for others to be praying for and giving us counsel. And I realized in my life I was pushing for some things and pushing for some things for others that was not God's way. And I asked them for clarity and help and prayer and understanding it. And I kind of felt I was reproved by this after reviewing some of this material and even during that sharing time, because I kind of thought, like, well, I had blown it. And it's, I mean, in some ways I had been foolish to be misunderstanding God's word and thinking that I had understood it properly on this area. But I was so thankful that the attitude of the other three was this attitude of, you know, thank you for being humble, right? And that's the heart of God. And so, right, that it's the failure would be in when things are exposed, when we're challenged with things, would then be to be bullheaded and not to realize that we need to change or not to admit that we're in darkness. But the song says, you know, no more darkness, no more night. Well, that's a song, but God's word is true, and it's real that there are times where even believers are exposed and they need to change. They are in places where they need the light, and God's word allows for that, and there's no shame in that. The shame would be in continuing bullheaded. God gives liberally to those that are honest and say, I need to know what to do here. I need some help in this area. God doesn't upbraid. He gives liberally. It shall be given him. That wisdom, isn't that wonderful? And then the one thing that we need to do, and that's really what this teaching is about, is verse 6. Right? Is let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right? So the one thing that we need to provide is that faith. In Isaiah, it was worded like how? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean upon his God. Right? When we're trusting, when we're leaning on something, Jason, you trusted that chair this morning, right? You probably didn't think much about it because why? Every time you've come in on Sunday mornings and sat down, you haven't fallen on your bottom side yet, have you? No, you know, we trust things all the time. Things of this world that maybe we should or shouldn't. When it comes to trusting in God, that's what trust is, though. We're leaning on him, right? Like there's that example of those that would lean on Egypt, and it's compared to leaning on a bruised reed. Like those that would trust in Egypt for their military strength rather than in the living God were reproved for leaning upon a bruised reed, right? That they're putting their weight onto it, and then what happens? Because it's not, Egypt is not God, it cracks, and then you end up with wounding your hand, right? But you're putting your weight into that. You're putting your eggs into that basket, right? That's what trust is. Trust is, you know, people do those, you see those trust falls. You ever done that where you stand here, you close your eyes, and you just fall backwards? And, you know, if somebody's not there to catch you, what are you going to do? You're going to hit the ground, right? That's what trust is. That's what faith is. When we go to God and we say, I need wisdom, it's not, I need wisdom, and then as soon as I'm done with that prayer, running back to the internet, running back to my own fires, right? No, but that type of prayer where I'm praying and then taking it back immediately, it's not that God punishes me by not giving an answer. I haven't stayed long enough to receive the answer, right? He's about ready to speak, and I'm gone, right? I've already decided that my own sparks are what I need to come up with this solution rather than relying and waiting upon the name of my God, right? And so that type of prayer, that is I'm an unstable man, right? And I shouldn't think that I'm going to receive anything of the Lord, but when we ask in faith, that simple trust, we can expect, it's not a maybe, but it's a definite, that God will give us what we need, and he's not going to be, it's not going to find fault with us with it, right? Those that fear the Lord, those that obey the voice of his servant, you're walking in darkness, you have no light. Don't kindle your own sparks. Trust in the name of the Lord. Lean upon him. Well, I have a hard time trusting in an invisible God. Okay, there's a solution for that as well. Let's look at Psalms 9. James 9. Kristen's laughing at me. It's fair. She knows her book, letter, or chapter counts. Okay, there's no James 9. Psalm 9. who are these people that trust God? What does it mean to become one that trusts God? How do I get there? Right, we're used to trusting in this, our chairs. We're used to trusting in that the sun's going to come up. We're used to trusting or not trusting in people to varying degrees. Trust with God works the same way. It's something that needs to be built. And the wonderful thing about God is that the more that we look to him and get to know him, the more that we will trust him. And look at this so clearly in Psalm 9, verse 9 and 10. It says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Verse 10 again, the first part. And they that know thy name might put their trust in thee, will put their trust in thee. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So if I'm struggling putting my trust in him, if I'm like that double-minded man, if I'm prone to be one to just light my own sparks and settle for that, then I should be honest with this verse and realize, oh, I just don't know God well enough yet, right? Because it says, those that know his name will put their trust in him, right? Just as sure as you didn't have to think twice about sitting in that chair. Now, faith is not unconscious, but there was a moment where your body decided, I'm going to prove this. I'm going to not doubt. And so when we trust in God, when we put our faith in him, he proves faithful, right? Like this verse says, that the reason that those that truly know him put their trust in him is because he's not forsaken them that seek thee, that he's never failed. Those that truly seek him, he's never failed. Right? And so with that type of name, with that type of reputation, the more that we get to know him and his name, his characteristics, right, all that he is and all that he's stood for, then we'll find ourselves trusting him more and more, right? I trust you understand that it's not just knowing that the word God, G-O-D, or knowing the word L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, then you're automatically going to trust him, right? We realize there's an extra step involved than just like knowing the name God or knowing the name Lord, right? What's meant by trusting a name, and we've taught this so many times, but it's referring to the characteristics and reputation of that name, right? I've used the example before of in your particular industry, are there certain companies that have a better name than other companies? You know, maybe for cars, it's Kia's has a good name in your mind. I don't know. But my point is, you mentioned a name, you know, Dave Fox Remodeling. They have a good name around here, as far as I know. If you hear that name or see the truck, you think, oh, that's a reputable construction company. I could rely on them. Why? Because they have a good name. I don't know. I haven't checked their Google reviews or whatever. You can go on and see what that name of that person or that company is, right? But the idea, we understand this. If somebody has a good name, they've got a good reputation. It's standing for more than just knowing what they're called. But you hear it and you think, oh, okay, do they have a good name or a bad name? And so knowing God's name is that, right? And you can study this in the scriptures, and we've taught on this topic before. But the name of the Lord here, when it says in Psalm 9, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee, is the name Jehovah. Jehovah, it's you see it in your modern Bibles, most of them as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right? It's a word that doesn't mean Lord, Master. That's a different Hebrew word. But this is not a translation, but a transliteration of a word that we pronounce either Jehovah or Yahweh. It's hard to know exactly how to pronounce it. It doesn't really matter. But what's important is if you look at it from the scriptures, it's God's covenant name. In other words, not just God, Elohim, the creator, but the God that has who he is to his people. Not just who he is, period, but who he is to his people. And that literally Jehovah means I will become what I will become for you. Right? As Christians, God has promised so many of these things that Jehovah was to the Old Testament believer, the Old Covenant believer. He's provided those things for us in Christ. And you can go through these lists of names of God with their accompanying specifics. For example, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. And so you'll see God's name, Jehovah, coupled with some characteristic, something that is good to have, something that if you were walking in darkness and had no light, that it'd be good to lean upon that name. Right? And so God gets very specific and provides these. And you can go through these, right? That he called himself a healing God, right? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Wherever God is, he is a God that heals. So do you have physical sickness or pain? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, right? And not just knowing those words or being able to pronounce the Hebrew Jehovah Rapha, but the point being that God is the God that heals. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Are you having financial struggles? Recurring physical lack? God is a God that provides. We can trust in the name of the Lord. We can lean upon him. Are you feeling a lack of guidance? Don't know what path to take? Concerned with what's around the corner? Wondering if you follow God's lead, will the grass really be greener on the other side? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in a good way. Right? I can lean upon the name of God. I can go to him rather than having to light my own sparks. The Lord is your peace. Struggling with anxiety, mental health challenges. God knows and sees that, but he's provided in himself and in the work of Christ the peace that we need. The Lord is your peace, right? This is the name of God. It's not just this general thing. You know, when you trust in Dave Fox Remodeling, you're trusting them to put your cabinets in a way that's going to give you a good service, right? Oh, the name of God, the name of Jehovah. How all-encompassing is him? Becoming whatever he needs to become for you. Right? But we've got to lean upon him. The Lord that heals, the Lord that provides, the Lord that's our shepherd, the Lord that's our peace, the Lord that's our banner. What's that mean? It's like the name of the team that you play for, right? Lily, do you play any sports? I'm looking at you. You don't play sports, I don't think. You're more musical, right? Here's Josiah. You play football, right? No, not anymore. You're wrestling. Okay, but then when you guys go into that wrestling team match, do you guys bring a banner with you? Or is there, well, sometimes people do this, right? You guys are, I just got to keep moving over here. Jason, do you, I remember when I played our high school football team, we'd bring banners with us if we were going on the visiting team. What was my high school? The Hornets. I think we were the Hornets. I don't remember. But it was like the team name, right? And so, like, that's our banner. We're all fighting for that team, right? But who's our banner? The Lord is our banner, right? Or you feel like you're spinning your wheels in life, that you're active and busy, but no clear vision on what you're fighting for, who you're fighting for. Jehovah, our banner, right? He's the one that we're fighting for. We have a purpose. We have a team that we're on, his team. his team, the purpose of the ages, right? The Lord who sanctifies, Jehovah who sanctifies. These are all aspects of the name of God that we can put our trust in. Are you feeling like you're burdened and ruled by sin? Feel enslaved to worldliness and temptation like the lot of those who are not Christians? The Old Testament believer could rely on Jehovah Imkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. How much more those of us that are in Christ, who have been sanctified through the blood of Christ? Oh, we've been cleaned and we've been dedicated to him. Right? So if you're feeling like you're in darkness and you have no light, God's word and the truth of who God is and what he's done for you in Christ can be relied upon, can be leaned upon. You can expect the sanctification that he was to Israel and that he is to us in Christ. That we're set apart from the common lot, dedicated to his service, and that we have power to do that. You know, how practical is this? I saw a shirt the other day that it said, "Hustle will set you apart." And I thought that, you know, it's like, okay, so, you know, Jehovah Imkadesh, he sets me apart, right? It's not my hustle that makes me sanctified, makes me unique in this world, but it's God who does, right? It's the work of Christ, right? So, you know, maybe, I don't think that's a silly example, but we run to things. We go to the wisdom of the world, right? If you're feeling like you aren't set apart and that you're not unique and you don't have a special purpose, the solution isn't to go on the internet and look for catchphrase to keep you motivated, right? All the hustle in the world isn't going to overcome my sin problem. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can and has, right? And so we find we're trusting in the name of the Lord. We're not leaning on the sparks that I can come up with. The Lord who makes us righteous. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And if this was true for the Old Testament saint, how much more for those of us in Christ who has accomplished these things for us through his blood? Right? You feel like you don't measure up. You feel like your sin, there's no way God could accept you. The Lord, our righteousness, right? The Lord who is there, Jehovah Shammah, and you can look these up. My purpose today is just to kind of give you a spattering of some of what God calls himself. And so when we're talking about trusting in the name of the Lord, this is what we're doing. This is how practical it gets. The challenges, the feelings, the needs, the things that plague others, we don't have to be plagued by because we have a name that we can trust in. The Lord who is there. Loneliness, feeling like you are on your own to face life on your own. The Lord who is there. Right? When the scriptures speak of God being high and dwelling in heaven, it's not that when we pray, our prayers have to travel a million miles out into the universe. That's not the point of that. It's that it isn't saying that God's far away from us. It's far away from us in distance or space, but in greatness. He is high above us in greatness. But when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to us experiencing the presence of God, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's closer than our very breath. My prayers don't have to travel a million miles. He's with us. He's with you in this moment. He's with you wherever you're at. So are you struggling with feelings of loneliness, feeling like you're on your own? No, the Lord is there. Rest in him. I think we heard in manifestations how we're safe in his presence. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to rely on him, putting our faith and trust in him, right? And so maybe you're listening to these and say, well, I've experienced God like one of those things sometimes. That's great. Realize that there's room to grow, right? Because God is all of these things. And Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10 makes it clear that the more that we get to know him, the more that we're going to trust him, right? And it's more than just knowing that these things are available, but experiencing them. Remember Job? He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee. There's a difference between hearing these things and then getting to know God experientially. And that's what this verse is talking about, that we're experiencing those things. We're not just hearing about God's great name, but we're seeing these things in our lives. And as we do that, it builds trust in the same way that it built trust for David. Remember David when he was confronted with the challenge of the Philistine? You can read about that in 1 Samuel if you want. But he was a man that trusted God, and he remembered the past deliverances that God had done for him, right? He said, well, new day, same God, right? He said, Bridget's not here, but there's a song that she sings. By the way, all filled. Now on our website, right, Leon? Or now, not just on our website, but available on all streaming services. Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube TV, YouTube. Just remember to search All Filled SSG. You can search up New Day, same God, right? King David, long before he was king, trusted God to take care of his sheep with the lion and the bear. Remember that? And then when he was confronted with a bigger challenge, he wasn't starting from a clean slate. He had that background of that experience of God. He was getting to know God's name, not just having heard about it, but seeing God's deliverance. Right? Recently, Tom used that example of getting to know people and how, was it Leon and Joylynn? Joylynn learned some things about Leon that were good, some other things that maybe she didn't want to learn, but never. Leon says never. I think we are all safe to say that the more that we learn about God, it's only good, right? It's only faithfulness, right? If I trust Emma to come to my house to babysit for me, the first time I trust her with that responsibility, maybe I'm not quite sure. Is she going to show up on time? Is she going to do a good job? But she shows up on time. She does a great job watching my kids. The second time, I think, wow, well, I'm a little bit more confident, right? Or maybe I'm more of the skeptical type, and I think, oh, maybe that was just luck. You know, she's really just, like, faithful 10% of the time, and so I can expect the next 9 times that I call her, she's not going to be there, mess up. But then the second time, she's there. She's faithful, just like she said she was going to be. Wow, she's 2 for 2. That's pretty good, right? And my confidence is building, right? The third time, I think maybe even more. You know, by the 15th time, my trust is really solid in that she's going to be there, right? And maybe I'd even trust her with some other things, maybe even a longer weekend that I was going away, right? But that's built. That relationship is built. And people are people. We don't always come through, but has God always come through? That's why I can say those that know his name will put their trust in him, because he's never forsaken those that seek him. So we lean upon him. When God speaks, he can be believed and proved through his written word, through the manifestations. When he speaks, we can believe it and it will come to pass. Right? And we just have to avoid the temptation to rely on other things. Rely on the gods of this world that are around us, the wisdom of the world that's around us. Let's consider, we're not going to go too much further this morning. Let's consider Psalm 115. says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Right, those that don't know God may mock us for putting our trust in an invisible God. Or maybe they don't mock us out loud, but we can realistically know what they're thinking when they kind of give that weird look or that shocked look when we talk about prayer or we talk about a God in heaven that loves us and cares for us and not being anxious the way that the world is or trusting in the things that they trust in, right? But what's the alternative to the true God in heaven? Well, the idols, verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Oh, you see this? That, right? And so this is referring specifically to idols of that day, where you'd have like a statue, like Dagon the fish god, that had a fish body and man's hands and arms. And it's a little bit hard to relate when we think of that. So I would never trust and pray to a fish statue. But we have our American idols that we trust in. They're not statues, but, you know, fame, wealth, status, followers, internet gurus, tradition, you know, fill in the blank, pretty much just do see what people are searching for on the internet, and these are their gods. And these are the things that we're tempted in, right? It's the gods of the nations that are around you that will tempt any given person, right? They had statues and such, but this applies to our idols as well, that they have ears, but they don't hear. They have feet, but they don't walk. In other words, the tragic irony of idolatry is that they appear to provide a solution, but then they don't, right? That they appear to have some power, but they don't, right? That you're hoping for this quote-unquote God to carry you, and look, it has hands, but it can't carry me, right? Look, it has feet. It can lead me. Nope, it doesn't go anywhere, right? Look, it can speak to me. It can help me. It can give me my answers, but it can't speak. It can't hear, right? Idols are a burden to us, right, if we rely on them. In contrast, the true God carries our burdens, right? These idols that appear to provide some solution end up leaving us disappointed. The true God and his word may appear not as the obvious solution, because God's in heaven. You can't see him, and yet he's faithful. Somehow he's always faithful, right? And so the solution here is, well, first verse 8, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. We end up becoming as dull and as lifeless and as blind as that which we trust in, if it's not the true God. So that in contrast, what do we do? Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Let's go ahead and close in Psalm 106. Oh, I found this this news article here that relates. I think I read this at a parenting weekend. It says, local mother immediately regrets asking for parenting advice on Facebook. This is from January 2019. Tallahassee, Florida. Local mother Tiffany Johnson confirmed Wednesday that she immediately regretted asking for parenting advice on Facebook after her newborn baby developed a cough. The woman requesting advice for treating a sick infant was immediately inundated with MLM sales pitches, passive-aggressive comments, and rants about Big Pharma. "What was I thinking?" she muttered to herself as a friend from church posted a lengthy rant on gut toxicity. "I've made a huge mistake." Johnson scrolled through the 57 comments that had been posted so far, wondering why she had ever assumed that the internet would be a good place to seek out information. From judgmental comments suggesting she wasn't a good mother for not using the exact same method that someone else said worked for them, to off-topic diatribes about pesticides in our food supply, every comment confirmed that Johnson had done the exact wrong thing by going to Facebook for advice. At publishing time, the mother had posted that she didn't need any more input, prompting her friends and family to suggest 17 more surefire remedies to help her daughter. Okay, so a bit of a parody there, but you know, it's the entrance of God's word that gives light. And I thought this was a neat example of one way in which just by tradition we might run to the world for advice, even well-meaning people that might give us advice, but we want to lean upon God. Are they speaking the truth of God's word? Then I can trust it. Then I can lean hard upon him and expect him to come through for me when it's his word, not just the wisdom of man. And that's really the key. And we heard this in Manifestations, is to not forget God. Not forget God. Psalm 106. And that's what this generation did, that they're challenged here. Their challenge was that once they saw God, they got to know Jehovah. That generation under Moses that came out of the promised land and got to see his mighty acts and his works, they got to see the Lord that healeth thee, right? The waters would be bitter, and he'd heal the waters, and none of them would have a bum knee. They would all be taken care of. Their clothes were sustained in the wilderness for 40 years. In the midst of warfare, he was their strength. He was their banner. In the midst of sin, he was their sanctification and righteousness. In the midst of the turmoil and uncertainty of going and moving into a new country, he was their peace. He was their security. They saw the name of God. They experienced God's care for them. And yet, when it came down to it, they soon forgot. But let's see this in Psalm 106, and this is where we'll close with these verses. "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" That's verses 1 and 2. Let's skip down to verse 9. "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise." But then verse 13, "They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel." Right? That's when they didn't wait for his counsel. Right? God is never late. He is all these things, but we can't be double-minded. We have to, A, just simply remember him and then lean upon him, trust in him, and wait. See that he's not going to be faithful once again. "But they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel." Look down to verse 21. "They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea." Right? He had taken care of them so abundantly. He was so faithful. The previous 25 times that they looked to him, he was 100% batting average. So why this 26th time do I have to go to idols? Why do I have to turn away? So foolish, right? God says if you do that, you know, settle for your sparks. See how it's going to work out. But I'm here. I'm not upbraiding you. I'm not disappointed. But stick around long enough to let me be your help. Stick around long enough to trust me. Remember me, and then when you pray and ask and look to me for these things, when you pray to me and say, God, be my sanctification, be my peace, be my healing, stick around long enough to experience that and get to know him and remember the times where he's been faithful in the past. He will be faithful once again. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a God that doesn't forsake his own and that all those who seek you will find you and find you to be the good God that you say in your word that you are. Thank you that for, and I pray specifically for anyone in this room that is going through a time of darkness, that you'd help them to lean hard upon you, lean hard upon your name. You've been faithful in generations past, and you've been faithful in our lives to do everything that you said that you would do for us, everything that your word says. May we have the humility and the patience to expect you to come through for us as you've always done. May we trust in your name and in your name alone. Amen.